Welcome to the Podcast Rodeo Show. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. This is where we grab a random podcast and see how long we can hang on. I give it a spin, and then I give you my honest first impression based on 15 years of podcasting experience. And today we're listening to the Come to the Table podcast. You can find them at thecometothetablepodcast.com. And their descriptions from our good friends at Apple Podcasts says, "Love in action is listening to understand, not to react." That right there is a great bumper sticker. I saw that and I was like, okay, finally. And I'm thinking, well, number one, this is a in the category of Christianity. And they have a little cross on their thing. But listen to this. This is like, you have my attention just with that first line. I was like, wait a minute. It says, "This is not a podcast about discussing spiritual deconstruction, reconstruction, contemplation, or the Bible. There are numerous podcasts that do that. We know because we love and listen to them constantly. Our intent," listen to this, "our intent is talking all that we know and believe at the time and live it out in a conversation while sitting at a literal," or by the way, I think that's maybe used wrong. I know a lot of people use the word literally wrong, but anyway, I'm not sure, and I'm not going to dig it out. "Or figuratively, a table." So in other words, they're like, hey, we actually want to, like, live. Like, you should be able to tell we believe this stuff by the way we live. We won't shy away from a topic or person, and we aren't going to have an argument or a debate. Are you sure? Do you know what country you live in? Come on, recreational outrage is the national pastime of America right now. Here are those conversations. And then they have their email address. Please feel free to contact us at Sean at the come to the table podcast.com. Sean, I got to tell you, that's a good description right there. And the thing I like about this is he's saying we are different than these other shows. And I think that's one of the keys right now is it's different, and we're going to listen to an episode right after this.
The following is an opinion, and only an opinion. These are actual, honest first impressions. If you don't like the opinion, feel free to never listen again.
And this episode is called Finding Truth with Jabali Smith. I am worried because this is a Christian podcast, and if this starts off asking for money, I'm going to lose my mind. All right, here we go.
Whatever this thing called God was that he had been brainwashing me with and using Jesus and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Moses, all of these archetypal representations of this creator, like I had that power and I was that and I was one with whatever that was. And I decided and became very clear that nothing in the exterior world could ever penetrate this thing, this power, this force that I was intimately integrated with and a part of. And I decided in that moment that I was going to survive.
I'm not sure what he's
talking about. That I was going to make it.
Okay, a little behind the scenes here. I actually stopped, went back and listened to that again. And he's saying that the power that's in the Bible, he decided he had the same power, and because he felt he had that, he knew he was then going to make it. Your audio quality is not great. Let's continue.
You know, back home to Berkeley somehow, someday, some way. That's when I say, and it's in my book, it's like, in my darkest hour, I found my greatest strength.
All right.
Love in action is listening to understand, not to react.
A lot of hiss.
All are welcome to come to the table, and all are welcome to listen.
And God bless everyone.
Nice.
Welcome to the Come to the Table podcast today. I have to thank my friend Anastasia Lipsky for my current guest, Jabali Smith. I have to tell you, in all the time I've done this, I have not anticipated a podcast as much as this one. I have had some absolutely amazing people on this pod, a lot of organic conversations that went places that I never expected, and it created these dialogues that I just find, they're like gems, they're like children, they're these beautiful things I've been through. And a lot of them I didn't know what to expect. This one I really don't know what to expect, but at the same time I have an idea around the subject because I read his book called Slave. And Jabali Smith, there's going to be a part of this podcast for those that are listening this isn't going to be a fun podcast. This isn't going to be an entertaining podcast like you would watch a show or something like that.
All right.
But I feel like this podcast subject and talking to Jabali is an honor, is a true honor. And it's just something that we have to honor the experience that he's had, his willingness to tell his story about being trafficked as a young boy. And not just that, but what his life has become now. Reading his book, it was such a revelation. I remember going down Interstate 10. I told Anastasia that I would listen to it. I kind of knew that it was coming, but I have to be honest with you, if I'm being transparent, I wasn't really prepared at the moment that the book started, and I didn't really give it its just due in terms of listening beforehand. I'd read the cover, thought I had an idea of what to expect, but as I started to listen, it's not comfortable. And one of the things I'm going to encourage everybody to do, we're going to have a conversation today, and we're going to talk as much around the book. We're not going to talk about the book itself and just rehash it, because I want and I encourage you to do what I did and go into that furnace, if you will, and go down that road and listen to this story that Jabali wrote about his childhood, because okay. There is an incredible amount of honesty, an incredible amount of authenticity. He pulls no punches. It is not meant to coddle or to be soft. It is meant to tell you what he experienced and how he experienced it.
Which is?
And there's nothing that I feel from that other than just trust and just, it's just raw. And it's worth listening to, because at the end, and what I think is one of the most just amazing aspects of his story in his book, is you're going to hear it in him. You're going to hear it in his voice. You're going to hear it in his story afterwards. That through that, there's a transition. He went through something and he came out the other side.
Which
and
is yes, what?
There
what did he
all
go
kinds
through?
Of damage. And yes, there was all kinds of dysfunction. And yes, there was so many things that we look at and we'll shake our heads at and just wonder how people could act a certain way, how people could do this, how people could act in such a manner, not just the people that did these things to him, but his own immediate family, things that just
Which is continue. What?
There's one thing being treated wrong. There's one thing knowing that something is and having somebody cut you off or somebody do something wrong to you. But it's another thing when that person is somebody who's close to you and who's supposed to be there to protect you, like a family member.
Which is who?
Somebody within your own family. They're supposed to be the ones that are there. And then as you get older, you realize this when you have your own children and you're just like, wait a minute, you did this to me here. It's that betrayal can even set you in another whole other level. And I hate to take suffering, and I'd never like to turn
Man,
suffering.
Man, I just went to their website.
It's never something that you want to turn around and
this
say.
This is the epitome of bearing the lead.
The worst thing, or let me tell you this, because I'm really not sure who wins that competition. But all I can tell you is what his story is about. All we can do is lay it out. And then in the midst of all this.
But you haven't told me what his story is about.
Unspeakable things I've ever read.
There we go.
And through that, Jabali comes through. He comes through. And yes, he's battered and he's bruised and he's scarred. But he's getting through and he keeps fighting and he finds a way to persevere. And just reading his book, I just kept waiting. I kept thinking, okay,
what's the name of the book?
Get through. And then in the midst of that, not just get rescued and everything's okay now, but his own personal journey, a revelation in the midst of that, which we're going to talk about, a spiritual revelation, an out of body experience that he had. And here's the thing about these kind of things, folks. I'm to the point now in my life where, you know, I don't distrust, or if people want to tell me something, I'm to the point now where I don't like to tell anybody that what they're saying is true or not true. I have no idea. And there's so many things going on in this world. There's so much a mystery to life. I don't know how to explain it, but in the midst, when I see things like this happen, when I see
it's a really long introduction,
self revelation, when I see this strength, this inner strength come through and this understanding, and you see somebody get through it like he has. And I hate sometimes to do this kind of thing, because then it you don't want to create a situation where you think, this can happen for everybody, or what happens if it doesn't, if there's something wrong. It's none of those things. I think this is just a chance to sit down and talk to somebody who's been in the trenches and who's been in the depths of these situations. Because trafficking up into this day, you know, we talk about slavery, we talk about sex trafficking, human trafficking.
There we
it's
go.
Getting some pub out there. We think it ended in 1865 with the Emancipation Proclamation, and shortly thereafter with the amendments that just got rid of quote unquote
slavery.
So we
are.
But it is continuing to happen to today. I live in
6 minutes in.
In terms of the sex trafficking world, the human trafficking world is a hub. It's not. I'm very proud of where I live, very proud of my city. That is not something that we're proud of. I've had personal experiences around this. I shouldn't say personal. This may be, I know people personally who have gone through this with their own kids. There was a gentleman out here, John Clark, whose daughter was kidnapped right
Dude.
Where I live, and there's a big thing on it, and there's a big to do on it. I knew people that knew
get
him
to the interview,
and it happened at a high school that my son now attends. This is a real thing, and it doesn't just happen to certain demographics, and it doesn't just happen 10 or 20 years ago. It's not an ancient thing. This is something that happens every day. And anything we can do to not only shed light on the industry, to shed light on the people that go through it, but to listen to the stories for the people that are in it and to do anything that could possibly help in any way, shed a light and draw attention.
I'm going to wait till he gets to the interview, but I might be here another 10 minutes.
Rescue, for lack of a better word, or even to truly do that in whatever way to combat this.
I'm giving you another 30
evil
seconds.
In this situation, and I don't like to use that word very often. Then I'm all for it. And that's why I'm so grateful for Jabali to come on here. I'm so grateful for him to have the courage. And you have to, it's easy for us to talk about it, but to have lived this and to be able to write a book and to be as forthright as he is and to go out and use his story as a source of courage and inspiration for other people. I don't know what else to do besides just
play the interview.
And just talking to him before, I'm just kind of, I'm spinning, to be honest with you. I'm trying to be respectful and understand.
Okay. Here's the thing. You are so overwhelmed by this story and you're riffing off the top of your head. First things first, the actual audio of the interview at the beginning is pretty bad. And what has happened is, because every now and then I heard this like kind of come in and out of that, is you've added so much noise reduction that he kind of sounds a little bit like he's underwater. That is the hardest part of doing interviews, is the people you interview sound like crap. And all you can do is say, look, don't use the microphone in your laptop. Get a set of earbuds if that's all you have. Get a cheap headset. You've got to set expectations for your guest to say, look, that's not going to work for me. Now, the problem is this guy has such a, like you would take him, like Jubali has such a story. You would take him if he said, okay, I can connect via two cans and some string. But here's the thing. You mentioned how you knew people that have gone through this. And I need to go back and listen. Here's the thing. All you have to say to introduce this is the line you have on your page about this. It says, at just 6 years of age, Jabali Smith, along with his older brother and sister, was handed over. I believe that should be were. And that's a good question. Jabali with his older brother and sister were handed over to the leader of a messianic doomsday sex cult voluntarily by his mother. That's it. I mean, what more? I am in. I want to hear the story. That's all I need. And you're kind of going over about how he did such a bad, you know, he lived through this stuff and it was really bad and we can't believe this. Okay, good. You know what? Just say, look, today's story is for adults. And if you have any children in the car, it's disturbing. And you start it off that way and then say, because here's why. At just 6 years of age, Jabali Smith, along with his older brother and sister, were handed over to the leader of a messianic doomsday sex cult voluntarily by his mother. It's an amazing story. Here's my conversation. And then all the stuff about I've known people who've gone through. Look, that's if you want people to stick around, it's called bearing the lead. You've got this great story and we're 7 minutes in and you finally said sex trafficking. The whole time you just kept saying, you know, he's had a really horrible life. And he's like, well, okay, but who, what? So now, the good side is the reason I think you're going on is this story moved you. It really moved you. I can tell that. And so, but to me, and can I raise my hand right here? My last episode of the School of Podcasting, I recorded twice because the first time I did it off the top of my head and I was all over the place. And I had to sit back and go, wait, what are the points I'm trying to make? And I wrote them down as bullet points. I don't do scripts. You can do scripts if you want, but I wrote up bullet points to keep me on track and also keep me kind of focused. So you have a great story here. Get to the story would be my guide. The intro, the other thing you had is I love the little kid. That's always a cute angle. But the female voice, every time she came on, it was like a lot of hiss. So, you know, but when you came on with the music, your production is great. So I love that. I was like, when I went onto the website, I'm like, why is this guy still mammering on? He's got the story of a guy that got turned over by his mom to a sex cult. I'm like, what? Shut up and get to the interview. I'm dying to hear this. So Your website looks great. I don't normally talk about websites. You got great show notes. The only thing, my biggest thing here would be just figure out what do I need to say to, and also that intro clip was a little long. You could have just had him say, I realized I had the strength and I was going to make it back. That'd be it.
In my darkest hour, I found my greatest strength.
Yeah, those intro, when you do an intro clip from an interview, it just needs to be a tease so that somebody goes, wait, what? Or it sums up whatever it is. So it was a little long, but, you know, not a big deal. So you have a great guest. And like I say, your intro needs a little bit of work. And I would be very careful with how you try to clean up that audio, because it just sounded a little, you know, I had to go back and listen. And also, you heard me say I had to go back and listen twice because I wasn't sure what the guy was talking about, because I joined in the middle of the conversation. So teases, that a good honest to God tease is hard to do, or at least hard to find and things like that. So again, if you want to check this out, it's the cometothetablepodcast.com. And if you would like your show right here on the Podcast Rodeo Show, go out to podcastrodeoshow.com, click on the Fiverr button. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to actually plug one of my other websites. I did an episode, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/704, here's a clip from that of me making fun of some podcasts.
Welcome to the Podcast Piggy Bank. We fill our bank with synergy and fire as we take it to the next level. I'm your host, Jack Davidson, and I want you to be rich. You're not only going to own your truth, but you will live your truth. I will show you how to step up to the plate, drink the Kool-Aid, and think outside the box. Join the Hustle Tribe and learn how to disrupt the world on your way to being a thought-leading ninja, girl boss, or overall rock star.
Yes!
Who's ready to work smarter, not harder, and fill up truckloads of low-hanging fruit? Yeah! Failure is not an option. And we came to Jesus, and he said, the data never lies. Yeah! This is Podcast Piggy Bank. Get ready to make money now.
Hey, on Thursday's show, we're going to be listening to Low Key Trash. Their website is lowkeytrash.com. And if you want to go get your first impression of that, you can check that out. And of course, our website, podcastrodeoshow.com. Thanks so much for listening. Until we meet again on Thursday, always remember to enjoy your ride. So the episode's over, and you and I were in line right now at like a convenience store, and I had a bottle of Coke. Would you put mine on the tab? Well, you can do that now. Go to podcastrodeoshow.com/thanks. It's just a way of saying, hey, Dave, great show. Thanks. I double dog dare you. podcastrodeoshow.com/thanks.